Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of
memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by his wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. All my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
Well, good evening, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your word, we ask for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us, to come forth, Father, to give us the guidance that we need, to open our hearts and minds so that we can be able to receive this, your word, Father, with truth and the depth of it, to know, Lord, according to your will and your way, and not ours or man's way. Now be with us, Father, throughout the remainder of this service, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, before I get into this, I do want to kind of make an announcement. I'll be contacting everybody that so far that's involved with us here to make sure. But right now, the way things stand, I will be having services on Tuesday evening. Evening and Thursday evening both. That will give us four services during the week. And we all need more teaching than what we're getting, because we need to get more into the Word. We don't have much longer to go. The Lord's letting me know that. Our time is short, and we need to be reaching everybody that we can reach to get them into church, especially with our families and our friends. Because we just don't have that much. He can come for his church right now at any time. The only thing he's waiting on is that last one to be saved that will be saved. That's what he's waiting on. And when that happens, he'll be here after his church. Everything else and everything he told us to watch for, we've seen. Some of it's still going on today, but it is all either past or working at the present time. We don't know just how quick, because no man will know. He tells us that. But he does tell us that we can know it's close, even at hand. But we don't know what he's calling at hand, just how close that is. Because he don't tell us. Because he don't aim for us to know. That's why he tells us to be prepared, be ready. And Thursday or Tuesday, if unless I change it, we will be meeting, as I said, Tuesday evening. And if we do, we're going to be starting communion. We need communion. That's something that the early church, naturally, kept up with communion, because that was one of the commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who started it. And it was carry on. Because it's our way of remembering a lot of his pain and the things he went through. Because with communion, we remember those stripes that was on him from the beatings that gave us our healing. And that cup is his blood, is the representation of his blood that covers our sins. You see, that has a lot to do with his coming and becoming our sacrifice. And they, everywhere they went, they did communion, which was every day. Somewhere, they would have services somewhere. And as the scripture tells us, from house to house, and in each one they would break bread, having communion. It is something that we need to be doing more often than what we've been doing. So, with our next meeting, everybody have your juice, because I've got it here. Have your juice. You're very ready, of course. All right. With that said, let's get into our service this evening. Going to be in Colossians chapter 4. Like I said, it's very short, but it is also very powerful and has a lot in it. But I don't think I'll be holding you too awful long tonight. It says, Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Withal praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts, with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. They shall make known unto you all things which are done here. Artarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you, and Marcus, sister's son, to Barabbas, touching whom ye received commandments, If he come unto you, receive him. And Jesus, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision, these only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you always, laboring fervently for you in prayer, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you, and them that are in Laodicea, and them in Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea, and Niphus, and the church which is in his house. And when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you likewise read the epistle from Laodicea, and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. Salutation by the hand of me, Paul. Remember my bonds. Grace be with you. Amen. And may the Lord add his blessing unto the reading of this his word. And now may the Holy Spirit come forward to share with you and I the depth of this, of God's word. Amen. All right. As we back up here now, this morning we was in chapter 3. And chapter 3 was given us, we was in the last part of it because we started that last Thursday. And now we finished that this morning, chapter 3. But that was telling us about the Christian virtues that we all need. That's what we was in this morning, telling us about things that we needed, need to do, and how to walk. And now here in chapter 4, he's ending his letter. So a lot of it is with personal greetings and his closing exhortation. But there's still quite a bit in this. But I did want to go ahead to this evening and finish up with this book. And unless God changes it, we're going to be getting into the book of Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, a little bit anyway. All right, as we back up here now and start to take another look here. It says, Master, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Well, this morning, we were talking about you and I with our work, giving to our masters, which would have been whoever employed us. We was to give them our best because our work was to be done the best that we could give them as if we were doing that work unto the Lord. Also tell our masters now, or our employers, how to treat us. And they are to treat you and I equal. There's not to be any difference. You see, the Lord don't make a difference in people and in mankind. And he's telling our masters, as it's called here, means those over us, to give us that which is just and equal. Because they are to know that we also, and they also, have a master in heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ. So they are to treat you and I like they want us treating them. Now here in verse 2, he's telling them to continue in prayer and watching the same with thanksgiving. You know, Paul's telling the Colossians here to continue in prayer means to persevere. That's what he's getting at. And he tells them to watch in the same, which actually Paul is trying to tell them that the Colossians are to be mentally alert and spiritually sensitive to the needs for which they pray. Is always to be give. Our prayers are always to go to God with praise and thanksgiving. If we want our prayers answered, we should never pray without praising the Lord our God and also giving him thanks for what we already have, but thanking him for those things that we have been praying about. And until we learn to do that, we're not going to see prayers answered. You know, until we actually start walking with God, we're tying his hands. When I'm not in obedience with his will and his way, I have tied his hands to where he's not going to give me those blessings. And he'll tell you that. He's the one who told me. And I told you. God's been dealing with me over the past weeks in a lot of depth, almost continuous day and night. He hadn't even been letting me get too awful much sleep at night because he's been talking to me about things and about how mankind is keeping his hands tied because they are not doing and walking as they should be doing and walking. They are not giving him the praise that is due him. They are not thanking him for what he's already gave them. You see, we don't have to beg God for nothing. That's not going to make him move. Because right now, you cannot ask him for anything he hasn't already given. It's already been given. I know. We think, this is man, we man thinks, if he's already given, why ain't I got it? Because I didn't know how to take it, know how to receive it. You're healing. You got something wrong in the body and it needs to be healed. That was given at the cross. It's been here that long. We haven't understood how to receive it. And to receive that, when we go to God and let him know, Lord, I have a need. You know my need. You know, Father, that I need healing in my body. And Father, now I'm praising you for that healing. I'm giving you praise. And I'm thanking you that the Lord Jesus Christ bore this so I could have it. That he took those stripes upon himself, received my healing. Thank you for that, Lord. And you can continue your prayers that way, you're going to find a lot of answers. Because then you're not tying his hands. Because you're walking with his word. And never pray for something that is not according to his will. I'm going to give you an example of what I'm talking about. You need a car. That could be a good need. God's not against you having a good car. But you go to him and say, Lord, Now I need a car, but I want a new car. He may give you a Model A Ford. But if he does, that Model A Ford will get you where you need to go. We don't need the best of everything. Father, now my new car's got to be a Cadillac. No, we don't. He knows what's best for you. Right now, I couldn't afford to drive a Cadillac if I had it. Takes too much gas. Takes too much upkeep. The little car I've got takes me anywhere I want to go. It's a nice ride. It handles good. And I get real good gas mileage out of it. He knew what to give me when I went to get this one. I went for a different car. And I went for a new one. And as far as money-wise, the car that I went after, I could have gotten just as easy and gotten it new as I got that. Took everything else for me to get my car. The one I actually went after, and I went to the dealer to get it, but he was out of that one. I went to get him a Kia Sorento. But he was out of that Kia Sorento, but he told me. He said, I've got a nice car here. And he said, it gets good gas mileage even better than that Kia Sorento would get. He said, I believe it'd make you a good car. And I asked him, what is it? He took me and showed me this one. It's a 2015. But it has served me well. See, God knows what he's doing. We just don't know. And a lot of times we don't want to know, and we don't want to understand. That's like we are about a lot of things that's here, that's in his word, that we want to live and walk contrary to. And like a lot of our churches are doing, and I'll tell you, we need to be praying for those churches and praying for those pastors that they will repent and bring that church back in line with the Word of God. And that pastor will repent for the way he's been teaching, and get back into this word as it is written and begin to preach it by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. And we'll see this nation change. And the communities in which we live, we'll see change and change quickly. And we're told in God's word, God's not going to heal our nation right now until it repents, because it has thrown so much wrong against our own people. They have forced upon its own people. Oh, now they ain't forced no sin on us. Yes, they have. Right now, when you pay your taxes, they're taking part of that taxes to pay for abortion, to go ahead and continue killing our babies, continue murder. And a lot of our places have accepted the fact of homosexuality. It's just being another lifestyle. Nothing wrong with it. It's just another lifestyle. That's why we've got them now in our churches standing behind the podium trying to teach the people how to live according to God's way when they have no idea. Because as long as they're living in that homosexual lifestyle, God is not going to work through them. Because the Holy Spirit ain't going to live with them. That Holy Spirit ain't going to live somewhere that's filled with sin. He won't do it. And unless we have that Holy Spirit in us, we don't understand God's word. He tells us that. His word tells you that. He says that unbeliever cannot understand this word. There's a lot of them teaching wrong today. They're not doing it because they planned it that way. They just don't know any different. And they chose that line of work because it doesn't have physical labor. And a lot of the places are paying bigger money than anywhere else they could work. So, will this be a preacher? A preacher, they're making big money. I'm talking about big money. As I've told the church about, two that I know of, not too far from here, about an hour's drive, hour and a half, right over in Shelbyville. One church furnished house next to the car. And $100,000 a year. And it wasn't enough to get a preacher. That preacher you don't want to sit under. Because they also take care of all that family's medical bill. Everything. Really not out of anything. Only a few groceries. And when you really stop and think about it, a lot of that's brought into it through the people in the church. And the other one, same town, couldn't get a preacher, paid $20,000 less, furnished everything just like that one. The only difference was, is that $20,000 difference? Instead of $100,000 a year, they paid $80,000. How many working men out here right now on most any job makes $80,000 a year? If they get 50, they're doing good. But this is the way mankind has gotten today. Now, as we continue on, three, with them, praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. Verse 4, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. The Colossians are asked to make two prayer requests for Paul and his associates. That's what he's asking for here in this letter to them. He's asking them for prayers for them. And he's praying that he wanted them to pray that God would grant them opportunities both inside and outside of prison to preach the gospel. Because prison wasn't no stranger to Paul. Paul was put in prison twice. Him and the ones with him. So they wasn't strangers to it. And he's asking now that God would just grant them opportunities to whether they were inside the prison or whether they was outside free. But either way, for them to be able to preach and to carry the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that they as evangelists could make the truth manifest as they ought to speak. Not just anything they wanted to say, but as they ought to speak. That is to preach it with courage and clarity. You see, we are to stand boldly to declare God's word. With the praying also for us means praying for Paul together with the prayer commanded in verse 2. When we read it, he was telling them to continue in prayer and watching the same with thanksgiving. You see that? He's letting them know when you pray, you've got to have that thanksgiving and that praise in it if you want that prayer answered. I received a magazine. I had some things bother me because I couldn't understand. I had done some praying. He didn't answer it for me. God hadn't spoken to me about them at all. And I couldn't figure out why. I got a magazine from a preacher. Well, it's an association, really. But the main preacher, one actually is head of it. I've known of him for years. Many of you, you probably know of him too. You may have heard him. I hear him every once in a while. Because he's all over the television. Especially Daystar. He's on Daystar all the time. But why he sent me the magazine, I don't know. God had to have him do it because I was wondering about this one situation. I say God works in mysterious ways. I was wondering why I wasn't hearing anything about these prayers I had been praying. I got this magazine and I was kind of glancing through it. And they had this story in here about this lady that had been praying for her and her husband both to have healing. And she'd been praying for a long, long time. Wasn't getting anything. She finally went to him in prayer and asked him, why? Why am I not getting my prayers answered? She got that one answered. Because he spoke to her. And he told her, he said, because you have tied my hands. Which is exactly what I had been doing. Because in those prayers I had been praying for that I wasn't getting any answers to, I had not been praising him and I had not been giving him thanks for it. So I was keeping his hands tied. When I untied his hands, although I didn't really even know I was untying his hands, but then he started answering my prayers and talking with me. We have got to live by his word. We are told to lift him up with praise and to give him thanks for all things. He took on death. He took on beatings. He took on imprisonment. And he died a horrible death on that cross. 6 hours of it. So you and I could have him in heaven. Yet, Lord, we don't want to do it your way. We're going to do it our way. Well, our way may not get us to heaven. He liable to send us the other direction. We continue our ways, because unless our ways is his ways, it ain't going to work. Now, verse 5. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. To walk with wisdom to those that are without. In other words, we are to walk lively and wisely with them, being able to show them love and a relation toward them that are not without that love. And we are there. Because you see, that is what it takes to bring that unbeliever into a redeeming time. And we are to make the most of every opportunity that are to seize each opportunity to display wise behavior toward the unsaved and to use it as a chance of witnessing. We are witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are to use every opportunity we get to witness to somebody. It don't matter what we believe or what we think about that witnessing. It's what the Word says. And it says you are a witness to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are to share the gospel. That's why we have salvation. That's why we're saved. It's so we can help others. Because we have become a child of the living God. But we forget that, don't we? We forget that. Now, let your speech be always with grace. What is grace? Grace comes from God. That's the goodness of God. That's what he's given to each one that is born again and is his child. You are walking in God's grace. It is a gift. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. It is a gift when we walk in obedience with him and his word. Seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. That's why we study God's word. Because somebody come, they see you and what you're like, and it looks better, and they want what you've got. They come to you and ask you, you know, why are you filled with joy all the time? Why is it nothing bothers you? Take God's word and give the answer. Because if you're a born again child of God, the reason you've got it, it's him. Without him, you wouldn't have it either. And see, that opened the door for us to sit down and witness to that one and help to lead that one out of darkness and into light and giving him more strength. If he is a child of God, but he may be a babe in as far as scripture goes, he may not have an in-depth knowledge of the word of Almighty God. And Kenny and I were talking earlier today. He's been to several ministers overseas because he does some teaching online too. through the days when he has time, with, even while he's driving. And they've been in contact with him. They want to be a part of our ministry. In fact, one has took our name already. He is using our name, Lighthouse Team Church over there. And he has asked for me to send him papers and all to that effect. But we're praying about it, because it's got to be in God's will for me to do it. But we are praying about it. But this is the way we're reaching right now. And the depth we're reaching, that's a long way, because it's in Africa. Is where it's at. Now, we need to know how to answer people when they ask of us about our hope and our lives. 7, all my states shall Tychicus declare to you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and a fellow servant in the Lord. Paul is letting them know about several of his brothers in the ministry. He's lifting them up so they will accept them and their teaching, because they are teaching rightly. 8, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate, comfort your hearts. We're to bring even comfort to people. Because you see, once you can take, especially an unbeliever, and bring him to that saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're bringing comfort to him. And you think about that child, born again child of God, that is new at it. He doesn't have as much of the word in him as you have, and you lead him a little further into the word, the comfort you've brought to him. Now, with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother who is one of you, they shall make known unto you all things which are done here. He was a faithful brother with Paul, a spiritual brother. He wasn't his flesh and blood brother. He was a spiritual brother. And he was preparing the Colossians for Onesimus to return to them, because he had been gone for a while. And Onesimus at one time had been even a runaway slave. And he had stolen from his master. And his master at that time was Philemon. But at the same time, he was also a prominent member of the Colossian church, where he is stealing from his master, and he is a prominent member of the church. So if you think just because somebody says, I'm a Christian, that he's all right, no. That don't make it so. But we don't push them away. We try to keep leading them into more light and building their faith stronger, until they repent of whatever it was that caused them to walk further away. Because the word tells you and I that for you and I to help save one lost soul is worth more than the world. Think about that. One soul that you helped save. One soul that you helped get to God is worth more than this whole world to God. And that's God's word, not mine. Now, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, salute you, and Marcus' sister's son to Barabbas, touching whom you received commandment, if he come to you, receive him. You see, he was another one that had been kind of an outlaw that Marcus had. And he was probably going to visit the Colossians assembly in a near future time. But the Colossians were kindly hesitant in welcoming him because at one time he had abandoned Paul on the mission field and went his own way instead of staying and helping Paul. Now Paul is standing with him, backing him, because what he is preaching is he's preaching truth. In his life, he hadn't walked away from God. He just walked away from Paul. Evidently, God had led him in another direction. And Paul wasn't holding that against him. He was backing him, and now he's letting the Colossians here know to stay with him also. You see, we're not to turn our back on no one. We don't fellowship with them and do the things they do, but we continue talking with them. We continue keeping them in our prayers and praying that God can give us a way to reach them, to turn them out and turn them away from darkness to light, and that light being Jesus. Now, this 11th verse here, and Jesus, which is called justice. You see, this is another Jesus. This is not the Christ. This is another man named Jesus. Says, who are of the circumcision? These only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. These that have been traveling with him actually were men of the law just like he had been. All changed. They'd all changed and accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, salute you. You see, he's getting ready to close his letter to them now. Salute you always, laboring fervently for you in prayers. You see how the early church worked mainly through prayers in the church and among its people, and for each other. That, heard that word the church today don't like. That ye may stand perfect. Oh, there ain't nobody perfect. No, there ain't nobody perfect. No, not one. That ain't according to God's word. None of us was perfect, nor could we be perfect until we met the Lord Jesus Christ, until we were forgiven by him, and until we were born again. But once we become born again and filled with the Holy Spirit of God, you are to walk in perfection. And to do that, you've got to have the knowledge of his word, so that you can bring that into your life and walk in it. That's the way we learn how to walk with God. That's why we need the church, and we need the church teaching the Word of God as it is written. And when it says do something, do it. When it says don't do it, then don't do it. That's not the way most of them today are operating. There was a time that all of our churches, all practically 100% of our churches, all taught this Bible. They all taught the same thing. They worked together. They fellowship with each other. Not today. They built them walls they call denomination. And I can't have nothing to do with you because you ain't my denomination. You know that's the way it is. Because we both belong to an organization where we've seen a lot of it. Now, fervently, laboring, always laboring fervently for you in prayer, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. That's the way we are to be standing. Complete in the will of Almighty God. Are you? Is that the way you're standing today? Or are you still going the way you think? Oh, I can't have nothing to do with that one. That one just don't believe. That one just don't do this. That one don't do that. It don't matter. Now, we're going to close out with these next couple of verses. For I bear him record that he has a great zeal for you and them that are in Laodicea and them in Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Salute the brethren, which are in Laodicea, and Nicholas, and the church, which is in his house. You see, back then, a lot of your churches were in homes. They weren't separate buildings. That's why back over in the four Gospels, we find where they went from house to house. Because that's the way the church started being established. Before they got to where they started moving them out of the house, because naturally they'd run out of space. And when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you likewise, he's telling the Colossians now, you likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. You swap these two books and each read what has been wrote to the other because they wanted no difference. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it, the salutation by the hand of me, Paul. Remember my bonds. Grace be with you. Remember his bonds. In other words, he's telling them to pray for him. Keep me in your prayers, just like I ask you all. Keep me in your prayers. I need your prayers. I need my own prayers, but I also need your prayer to help me to continue to grow and the Lord to continue working with me. We all need it, just like I pray for all of you here. I'd like to pray for all of you here today twice. Already. And you'll get one more yet today. Because you'll get another when I get ready to lay me down tonight. But we are to walk a lot different than what most want to believe and think. And we've got to get out of this Well, I just don't see that. It don't matter what you see. It's what God had to say. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we close your word tonight, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for a place and a time that we can come to share your gospel with each other and to be of help one to the other, to help each other with whatever needs that may come our way, and to be a great support and to help share the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, for your saints, wherever they are in the world, we ask the Holy Spirit to keep them safe, keep them in health, see to their needs. For Jerusalem and Israel, Father, we pray for peace for them, because we know, Father, right now they have very little peace. Hundreds and thousands of rockets a day falling into that land, causing destruction and death each and every day. They are surrounded, Father, by enemies. We pray for them to have some peace, Father. But even more than that, we pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and come out from under the law that has been fulfilled and walk in your grace, covered by the blood of Jesus. Oh, Father, in this land of ours that turned its back, no excuse whatsoever for it, but they turned their back upon you. They turned their back on the Lord Jesus Christ. They took him out of everywhere he was at. Don't want his name even spoken. They're trying to turn your book, this book, Father, of your word, into a hate speech. And your people that are called by your name as terrorists. Father, our government has walked away from you. We ask the Holy Spirit now to work with us, to help us to gain enough strength and enough, Father, to remove those from office that's against the church, against the Lord Jesus Christ, against your book, against your people, and to replace them with those that will work with us to put everything back as it should be. And Father, that once again they work with us to bring this land to repentance so that you will heal it and our government be put back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, our prayer list, as each name is called, whatever need that name has, Father, we ask the Holy Spirit to fulfill those needs, whether they be physical, spiritual, or financial. Kenny Powers, Mark Pavlik, Amy's husband Tom, Amy and Tom's young son Jacob, Terry Coates, Dennis Breeden, and his wife Tina, brothers in Christ here in Brandenburg, Father, and come from different walks of life. But when they come together in their meeting, Father, bring them together in one mind and one accord, and that being in Jesus Christ. Pastor Small, the Glory Bound Church of Irvington. Pastor Randy Johnson. And Pastor Bess, the Church of God of Brandenburg. For the Meade County General Baptist Church and the pastors there, Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, Pastor Tony Galladay. Father, Pastor Eric and his wife Jackie, and that little full gospel church of God there at Akron. These churches, make them, Father, lighthouses to the community in which they stand, and not only lighthouses, but, Father, make them places of refuge to where the lost walking in darkness can go and find light, and that light being Jesus. And these pastors, Father, my prayer for them is that they are walking strong and close with you so that they are filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit to keep these churches, Father, on the pathway of righteousness, fulfilling their duty and their work for you. This young man, Will, Father, that has been ordained just recently into the ministry, my prayer for him is that his teacher has been the Holy Spirit and he is the minister you want him to be. For my friends, Father, in Pakistan, Pastor Haroon Islam, Pastor Barak Mishai, Pastor Zephyrin Hiron, Father, these all, keep safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. Because, Father, we know that they walk in places to where if they are caught with the word of Almighty God, it will mean imprisonment and death. For the Johnson family, for the Branson family, for the Lee family, for my wife's family, for my family, and for each family that has heard this message, Father, we're asking the Holy Spirit to touch, work with them, work within them. And for all that are walking in darkness, that the Holy Spirit will be able to lead them from darkness to light, and that light being Jesus, so that none be lost and all will be able to make heaven their home. For Jimmy Embry, Sharon Mombillo and her mother, for Sue, for Palin Goodman, for Casey Smith, for Kelly Smith and his wife, for Karen, for Henry Craigcroft. Father, these all stand in need of a touch of thy healing hand. Heal them, Father, in a mighty and great way. And heal them to where they know that healing has come from you and not from man. Lift them up, Father. Put them someplace into a good church. One, Father, that will continue to help them to grow in your word and to grow with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, this church is yours. Give me the means, the guidance, and the knowledge of what you want it to be. And use me in great and mighty ways to get it there, Father. Not to lift me up, but to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in his sweet, precious name, Father, that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Now, remember, all everyone, keep Tuesday in mind, but know that whether or not we will be here Tuesday, I will be informing all of you, but we will be here Thursday, that we know if God will, and he don't come for us first. Have a great night. Walk with God. He'll walk with you. So until then, God bless. Good night, all.